the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Every Sunday, and in our parish, very often during the week when we have feasts or during Lent when there are other occasions, we celebrate the liturgy, and the focal point of the liturgy is the Eucharist. What do we believe about the Eucharist? What do we believe that it is? Well, there's a lot that could be said about it, and the most obvious thing that probably most of you already know is that we believe that the Eucharist really is the body and blood of Christ, so that when we partake of the Eucharist, we're really partaking of Christ, not just of a symbol. And starting with the New Testament and going through the early fathers of the Church, it would be very easy to demonstrate that this is what the Church has always believed, and I'll probably do that at some time in the not-too-distant future, because I think that's an important point to drive home to make sure that everyone understands. So there's an aspect of what we believe about communion that is not quite so obvious, and maybe some of you didn't know. But what does the word communion mean? Well, the Greek word for communion, if you pronounce it the Erasmian way, it's koinonia. I think the more proper way is kinonia in Greek. But it could also be translated as fellowship. And so when we receive the Eucharist, we are in communion or in fellowship with Christ, but that's not all that we're in fellowship with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, St. Paul says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." When we partake of communion, we are one bread. We are one with Christ, but we are one with one another. We have fellowship with one another when we receive communion. St. Augustine talks about the significance of this passage, and basically the point that he makes is that we are all individually like grains of wheat that are gathered together, but they have to be made into bread. Well, how do you make individual grains of wheat into bread? Well, first off, you have to grind the wheat into flour, and then you have to add water, and then you bake it, and then you make bread. And what he says is that what we do is by humility, we are ground into a powder, into flour. If you were baptized as an adult, you were made a catechumen, and you entered in the church with your shoes off, barefooted, and you renounced Satan, and there were exorcisms and prayers said over you. This is an act of humility. When we fast, we humble ourselves, we humble our bodies. When we refuse to be prideful when people insult us and we react in humility, we're being humble. These are the things that grind us into the flour that we're supposed to be so that we can become that one bread. And the water, St. Augustine says, is the water of baptism. And we could extend that because we also talk about the second baptism of repentance, that we, when we go to confession, when we repent to God and we weep over our sins, that's a second baptism. So through baptism and through repentance and through humility, we are able to become the dough that God makes into the bread that is the one Eucharist. But that actually requires that we really do exercise humility, that we really do seek to be one with each other as well as with Christ. St. John, in his first epistle, in verse 3, he is in the first few verses, he's explaining why he's writing his epistle. And the primary reason he states is, in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Well, the word that's translated fellowship there is the word for communion. And so he's saying he wants you to have fellowship with Him. You know, the Apostle John is writing this to a church. He's saying our church and your church, the people who are reading this, we should have that we want to have fellowship with one another, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son and the Holy Spirit. For us to worthily receive communion, we have to try to be at peace with one another. St. Paul in the Epistle to the Romans says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And Christ in the Sermon on the Mount says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. In other words, you got some offense that you've caused, or you've caused him, or he's caused you, but you're not at peace. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now, St. Paul makes it clear that we're to be at peace as much as it depends on us. And unfortunately, sometimes people will not be reconciled with us. And all we can do is do as much as we can to continue to leave the door open for reconciliation and to pray for that person and not do things that further aggravate the relationship. But the point that Christ is making is that we can't come and make an offering to God when we know that we're not at peace with someone else and there is something that we can do about it. And the Eucharist is an offering. In the liturgy, in a little while you'll hear me say, thine own of thine own we offer unto thee in behalf of all and for all. So we are offering Christ, thine own of thine own. In other words, we're offering the sacrifice of Christ to him. That's what covers our sins. That's where we have forgiveness and salvation. But we're making an offering. But we can't do that worthily. We can't do that in a way that really benefits us if we are not striving to be at peace with other people. Also, St. Paul in the Epistle to the Hebrews says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Communion is not a private affair. And a lot of times people approach it that way, that you know they say their prayers, they come to church, they receive communion, but they don't see that part of that act should be that they strive to be in fellowship with everyone else in the church. If communion was intended to be something that we just do between ourselves and God, then the church would have established the Eucharist in such a way that we would just stay at home and do it ourselves. It may be in our own prayer closet, as Christ talks about. But we wouldn't do it with one another if it wasn't necessary. And so that's one reason why it's essential for your spiritual growth that you be at church on a regular basis, that you not neglect or forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as Christ says, as is the manner of some, he says. So St. Paul in his day had the problem of people who would not come to church regularly. It's not a new problem. It's a problem that the church has always had to deal with. But if you are serious about your faith, if you seriously are seeking to be one with Christ, you should be here at church on a regular basis. And you should not just come here, stand in the corner, say your prayers, and then go out and not make any effort to be part of the community, to show your love for one another. And of course, that kind of love begins at home in your own family, but it has to go out from there. And it has to extend first and foremost after your family, which is your home church, to the church that you attend, then of course to the wider fellowship of Christians, and then of course even beyond that to every person in the world. Our relationship with God is not independent of our relationship with everyone else. If we want to be one with Christ, we have to try to be, as much as it depends on us, one with one another. We have to love one another. We have to live in a sacrificial way for one another. O Lord Jesus Christ, grant that we may draw closer to thee by drawing closer to one another. Amen.